Welcome to Band of Gamers Podcast, Episode 17. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined again by DBQ Hams.
Welcome back, everybody.
As well as Osiris Prime.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back, finally.
And welcome back to the show, guys. It's always great to have you both on the show with me. And this week we're going to start like we do every week, and we're going to talk about what we've been playing lately. So, Prime, since you weren't here with DB and I last week, why don't you go ahead and start? Tell us what you've been playing.
Sure, no problem. Actually, I've had a few things I've been playing the last couple weeks. Probably the past month, the first couple things. Minecraft, of course, I've been into lately again. Kind of really hard lately. I've been really been playing that a lot. Kind of when I start playing for the night, I kind of do that first to kind of ease into the gaming, I guess you could say. So we'll play with that, and been playing with my son on the weekends also. We started a world, and we've been kind of just going through there and doing that kind of thing. And then a little bit of Halo Master Chief Collection last couple weeks. Probably more so last week than this week. I haven't really been playing this week too much, maybe like just a match or two. And then finally, I finally finished Strider, which is part of my backlog that I've kind of been going through. So finished that. Unfortunately, that last episode, or that last session that I did, I didn't get to Twitch it like I have been for most of the rest of the game. It was kind of an impromptu thing. I was just going to play for like an hour before I went to sleep, and I just saw it there, and I decided, you know what, I'm just going to knock it out and just get it over with. So I finished that finally. Pretty good game overall. Ending was kind of like your standard old school kind of game where it was like you beat the boss, and then he's like, oh, hey, wait a minute, I'm not dead yet, so here's my final form. You know, you got to beat me again. So it was cool, though. Some of the parts kind of during the game were kind of hard, I thought, but you know, that was just kind of me. But the boss wasn't too bad. So finished that. Started on Ground Zeroes, the Metal Gear Solid. I don't know what to call it, I guess, prequel, I guess, to the upcoming game, Phantom Pain. That was the first free game for this month. So I just kind of started it. I just kind of rolled through a little, like maybe, well, it's probably like 20 minutes because of the first 10 minutes was kind of long just because of that's kind of the CG, or kind of the story, you know, setting up the story to it. And then I started on Watch Dogs for my next backlog game. Probably maybe a third way through that or so. I don't know if either of you ever got a chance to play it, but it's kind of open world Ubisoft game, hacking through Chicago. So it's kind of cool. I'm liking it. So hopefully I'll be able to knock that out in the next month or so. And then finally, last couple of games, Titanfall and Destiny, that I've been kind of bouncing back and forth between. I played in Destiny, I've been mostly doing the Crucible, so that's the multiplayer, competitive multiplayer game. I was doing that, and kind of the reason I kind of bunched those two together was I also streamed those through Windows 10. I actually did Titanfall first when Windows 10 first came out, and I think you guys talked about that a little bit, or talked about that last week or so. It was a pretty good experience, actually. Titanfall, I didn't have any problems with. I probably played for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes at the most. And it was smooth. I didn't have any problems. And then Destiny, I played during the week, I think Wednesday or Thursday, which I only did that because my TV kind of crept out on me. So I didn't really have anything else to do that night. So I just figured, hey, I stream Destiny. And I had a few bumps in there. There was some lag every once in a while that was coming through. But those are the only two so far that I've been able to test with the streaming through Windows 10 to my desktop, which is basically on a wired network. I'm kind of using the power line adapters, which is basically using your kind of your electrical through the house, and then you on the PC, and then through the system, through the Xbox, I'm using, it's kind of wired through those two. So pretty good experience so far overall with the streaming. You guys, I don't know if you guys had a chance to do any more streaming since last week or last couple weeks, if you had any problems.
You know, I did some. I didn't have any problems. I can't, because I'm using a cheap netbook, my Wi-Fi apparently is too weak to be able to do it, so I have to do it wired. But I got this cheap i3. It was like a $350 laptop. It's an i3, and it streams wired no problems whatsoever. I will say this though, and I'm kind of jumping ahead, but I like Halo 2. I've been playing that. I finished Halo 1, been playing Halo 2, and it just looks so great and sounds so great on the surround sound, and it looks so great on my 60-inch TV that I don't want to play it on my laptop. It doesn't look as good for whatever reason. So I'm mostly I gotta find some of those other arcade games to remote play, but I've mostly been just working on my Titan, remote playing him, getting him up in Destiny through the single player. But yeah, so that's my 2 cents.
So, Prime, you did PvP with the remote play, and Gray, you've done, in Destiny, you've done just general campaign or patrols, but more PvE. Have you guys noticed any difference in terms of, the PvP, blah, 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 stuff? Is that getting any other lag there, Prime, or maybe just the way you have it set up for Wired, it makes a big difference and it's running pretty smooth?
Yeah, I was just that night. I was just doing Crucible stuff, so I didn't do any P versus E, just doing the single player campaign or anything like that. So, and then Titanfall obviously is just all online. So I don't know. Like I said, Titanfall was running smoothly. I didn't have any problems at all. And then just Destiny, which was like what a week and a half later maybe. Like I said, I had a few issues where it was kind of laggy here and there, but like it was laggy for maybe 15, 20 seconds, and then it would clear up, and it was fine. So, I don't know. I don't know what was going on. If it was just maybe the servers that night or something. So, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Well, it's good that it sounds pretty stable then. So that's, I think it's nice for setups when your TV crashes like you or Gray, who just wants to run a few patrols and grind up some gear loot and on a smaller screen in a different room. So it gives people a lot more options to play. I think that's a nice thing.
Yeah, I
And
think it's
oh, go.
pretty awesome. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Prime.
No, I was just gonna say, yeah, it's. I probably won't use it a whole lot, but it'll be nice. Like if my wife's sitting there watch something on the TV in the main room. That's where I have my Xbox set up, so I can just jump on the PC if I don't feel like watching what she's watching and play some games or something. So it should be good. And I also stream everything in my house, so I don't have like cable or satellite TV. So. I think my wife was watching. She might have been watching something on Netflix when I was playing Destiny, but and that would have been on her Kindle, which so it would have been a wireless. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it was just something with the servers that night or I don't know. So it was weird. But I'll probably test it out more in the future and see how it goes. Maybe do some just some single player stuff.
How about you, DB? What have you been playing?
So I have, last week I talked a little bit about playing some Rare Replay, and I've continued to kind of dig back through that and chip away at the plethora of achievements that are buried in there, and the small little achievements just for simply opening up the game and playing that. So one of the things, I remember renting Battletoads, I don't know if it counts as a classic, but the old beat 'em up NES game. And I think I got just about as far as I ever got in the original Battletoads when I rented it, and remembered exactly why I was very happy to return it to the game, to my local video store, right? Back when there were local video stores around and your gas station sold VHS tapes or rented them out. So yeah, it's certainly, it works. I mean, the emulation works great. The NES and older games have some really cool functionality where you can do a rewind. So if you've got like 10 seconds where it buffers, and you can do a rewind very much like Forza, right? So that if you die or get hit by something that was suddenly on the screen and you weren't prepared for it, you can quickly do a rewind and keep playing. So it does bring in a lot of some nice, more modern functionality there. One of the things that I've really enjoyed, and I talked about this last week, is just those playlists, the compilations where it kind of mixes it together, kind of NES remix style. And so I've played, what else on the Rare Replay? I played Battletoads Arcade, which I had never even really heard of. It came out around the same time. It was in those 90 Brawlers arcade style. Their graphics are pretty good. You know, it fits right into the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Konami Brawlers, the Simpson arcade game. Actually, the Simpsons arcade game we found up in your neck of the woods, Gray, when we were on vacation at an arcade in Salem, Massachusetts. And my son plugged like $5 in, and my wife and I and my other son kept rotating around, and he ended up beating it, finishing the Simpsons arcade game. So it plays really well. It plays nice as a brawler. It's actually probably more fun than the original Battletoads game. My sons and I have been playing Perfect Dark, both mainly the NES version one, and playing around, and actually we spent a good 15 minutes trying to figure out controls and laughing at each other as we were not actually getting the controls down. So that's another nice thing. So on some of these games, they give you some good options. They've tweaked the controls. So on Perfect Dark, I think maybe when it came out on Xbox 360, that it had additional control schemes outside of the classic. It also had one kind of mapped around Bumper Jumper, mapped around Halo, and another one mapped around Call of Duty-like controls, and so it gives you that option. Another game in the N64 segment is Jet Force Gemini, which I remember having, and it was, you know, it's kind of cutie action shooter that you're shooting a bunch of ants, and is out in space somewhere on different planets, but you know, it's a fun little third-person action game. I remember enjoying it before. It still holds up pretty well. But the nice thing they've done is they've patched it since release so that you can play with the dual sticks. So you can use your right stick for more aiming and camera look. And so the nice thing there is that they've continued to patch that a little bit so that people can play around with that. I played a little bit of Madden as it's getting football time and preseason starting and fantasy football's kicking up. So I had Madden back in Madden 15 sitting on my hard drive for my Xbox One because I bought the Madden bundle last year and have mainly maybe only played all of three games combined. That's where Destiny sucked me in. And so kind of getting back into that, and now with doing some off-season stuff and enjoying that. You know, I really enjoyed playing Madden back in the PlayStation 1 era, and I like what Madden did with this past year in 15, where they had kind of the community play calling. So for somebody like me who was kind of put out, or not even put out, but just away from the game for a long time, the depth of play calling and everything else, you know, it's even a little deeper than, or a little better than their, what was that called, play calling flow or whatever, where it would recommend Madden would give you a play. You know, this kind of crowdsources it, so it because everything's connected, it shows you what other people have been running in similar situations, and so I found that a whole lot more helpful than just kind of the quote-unquote recommended Madden play in GameFlow. So I know that's a feature that is sticking around for Madden 16. It sounds like they again continue to tweak some controls and some defensive options and blocking. So I think that's not a bad thing. You know, they continue to have their their Ultimate Team, where you can buy packs just like any other EA game, that there's a microtransaction involved at this stage, which makes me wonder what Star Wars Battlefront microtransactions are going to look like. But so yeah, so that's there. Madden 16 is right around the corner as well, right? That anybody with EA access is picking it up or has the potential to play it relatively soon. And again, the final game is a little bit of Destiny. So, like I said last week, I got back into it after being gone all summer. See, I was waiting for you to be on Prime, so I could say I did. This is now my third time of owning Destiny. It's I am seeing a counselor, trying to kick the habit, but no, actually, it's fun to be back in. It's fun to be back in. Gray and I and another player, Mr. Babo from the Casual Adult Gamers Forum, ran a couple Nightfalls on this week. And actually last night I spent a couple hours in the Crucible with a group of five other players, all squatted up from the 100.io site, where you can kind of post your game time and people can join you. So that was fun. I really enjoyed kind of running as a full squad. So a little bit of bits and pieces, and again, it's kind of not a whole lot of new releases on anybody's schedule here, at least for the next couple of weeks. But Gray, so what have you been playing?
Well, you know, I already kind of jumped in and said I played a little Halo 2, played a little Windows 10 Remote Play. I guess the big deal for me this week was doing two Nightfalls. I started thinking about it. Those were my first two Nightfalls ever. So I did two Nightfalls with DB and with Mr. Bobo. And that's I've been running around, strutting around all week with my flaming head in Destiny. So that was really cool. And, you know, Mr. Bobo's always a blast to play with, too.
That's great, Grant.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't realize that was your first ever Nightfall, so yeah, great. Enjoy the flaming head that comes with it. So, fun. We ran them really well, so congrats.
Yeah, so it was like the damage that was, you know, everything came together to make it easier than the normal Nightfall, just because it was solar damage or whatever, I forget, but Bobo was really excited about that, and we did it, we did great. We, like you said earlier, we only wiped a couple times. We were talking in the pre-show, and no, it was a good time. I had a blast, and we should try to get, you and I should try to get Prime into a Destiny match so we can help him finish his single-player playthrough. But the big news in Destiny this week was Xur, who I had not gone to see for a while, and I had not played a weekly in a while because I didn't have any reason to go buy anything from Xur, he had the Galahorn. So not only did I have to go see Xur this weekend and buy a Galahorn, I actually had to run a weekly to get more coins so I could buy a second Galahorn for my second character. So that was like the huge news. It's like, really? I know they're going to nerf it, and they've already nerfed it. But that was great. And a couple other ones out there. My grandson and I played some of the Rayman. I think it was Rayman Legends that was free. His mother was working, so I volunteered to babysit him for an hour or so and give my wife a break, and we played that. He had an absolute blast playing that. So thank you, Microsoft, for that free game. And then I also picked up Project Cars a couple weeks ago, and one of the things that, you know, I played two races. So the first race was like a regular race, and it was like 20 cars or whatever. And so I jumped in, and I'm like, I'm not going to try to bump the AI. I'm going to try to be a good driver. And I thoroughly enjoyed the race. And I felt like I was playing Le Mans on the Dreamcast again. It was awesome. And I didn't even care about coming in first. I think I came in sixth. But I was like, I'm not going to care anymore. I just want to have fun. Then the second race I did, is where they start you off, was with the go-karts. And I absolutely stink at go-karts. So, I've made the decision with Project Cars. I'm skipping the whole go-kart scene. It's nothing like driving a car. And I don't want to learn how to drive a go-kart well, because then I'll be driving cars after that. So I don't know what the sense of putting that in as the first league, but I think it's just too different from driving a car to be fun for me. And I've heard other people say, I hate go-karts, and I'm like, why do you hate go-karts? But now I know. So I was very impressed with Project Cars. There was a little bit of single-player lag just in a couple spaces. And now the game's been out for a while. I got it on sale, so But it does look gorgeous, and I look forward to playing some more of that as I gear up for Forza in a month. But yeah, no, that's it. That's what I played. That's what I played this week. Any comments, guys?
No, I think that's a good chunk of stuff. That's, it was interesting to hear about the Project Cars stuff. I remember when that sale came up. I remember seeing it for that discounted price. So, yeah, we've got what, only a few more weeks until Forza 6 comes out. That's early in September. So, is that something you're getting excited about, Gray, as you were talking about enjoying those races?
Yeah, there's just so many games out. So you get the Taken King, which I could buy that, and I could spend another 6 months in Destiny, or I could actually try something new. So I've decided I've always enjoyed Forza. I didn't really play 5 very much, but I've always enjoyed the racing games, Project Gotham Racing, PGR, 1, 2, 3, 4, Forza, all of them. So, not that I'm good. I'm not one of those tweakers who have a lot of time to do that. But I've always just enjoyed the racing and running around the track. Really, going all the way back, I think I fell in love with it really with the Dreamcast and Le Mans 24 Hours. And yeah, I love the graphics. I love racing. I love the cars. So I wish one of the things Project Gotham Racing had some great co-op where you could be on the same team and go against the AI. And I wish more of the games would do that, do more co-op like PvE in racing games. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. So I'm going to break out of my Destiny, my next game. I'm going to break out of my Destiny run and try some racing. So it'll be fun. I'm sure I'll be the only one. Everybody else will be in Destiny, but I'll be having some fun times racing. Yeah, but that's it. Hey, why don't we move into news? I know Prime and I both didn't have a lot of news this week. I think Gamescom last week kind of took wore me out. So DB, I know you have some great stories. Why don't you go ahead and go first, and let's talk about what you had keyed up.
Okay, great. And actually, first, I'll say this to Prime, that this is a sign that I'm not addicted to Destiny, is that I can tell Gray that's a good decision. You can walk away from Destiny and enjoy other games, and while I am thoroughly still poking the Guardian needle into my arm and continuing, but at the same time, Gray, enjoy those other games. Destiny will still be there, and there'll be
But you
People
took
with
some time
other
off, right?
characters.
How much time did you take off of Destiny?
So yeah, maybe that's why I feel maybe I've cleansed it from my system, right? I've made it through. So I took basically the entire summer off. I hadn't played a strike of any sort or even a patrol since probably right before the beginning of June, right before E3. So yeah, end of May, Labor Day, or Memorial Day, right? So 2 months at least, that counts for something. But yeah, I think maybe that's exactly why I'm ready to kind of come back in, is that I was happy to wait on Destiny, but now that there seems to be enough new content to keep me going, or at least in these last few weeks, I can move through the old content that you and everybody else kind of chewed through super fast. I've got 2 or 3 weeks to play through it before everything becomes new again. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that means come next year with Destiny and what Destiny 2 looks like.
Not to belabor the point, but I think you really hit it. I think all the old content is going to become new again with this. What was the word they used for it? It was questification. So I'm very curious to see
Yep,
how
that's
they
right.
retweak those first 20 missions to add that questification, and with Nolan North being the voice and Dinklage, pulling his voice out, putting the new guy in, and which all makes sense. I mean, Dinklage is a very, very famous actor. He's lots of demands. And Nolan North, his job is voice acting for games. So it makes a lot of sense to hire a new guy who's much more available. And but yeah, I'm almost wondering if it'll the original single player will finally become what we all hoped it would be. Not that it's not a lot of fun, not that it's not a lot of content, not that it's not pretty awesome, but with a few tweaks and a couple extra scenes that explain things a little bit better. I mean, it could really be a home run. So that'll be interesting to see. Back to you, DB. Sorry.
No, that's great. Actually, that's a good segue. You know, one of the news stories, there's been a steady trickle of Destiny Taken King news coming out of the Game Informer article. Game Informer Online has been posting videos throughout the last couple weeks or so. I got my copy of Game Informer this week and have kind of been picking through it. There were, most of that stuff is available on lots of other websites in terms of the content, and Gray and I covered chunks of it last week. But one of the things with the questification that Gray just mentioned is, in the article, it talks about how one of the examples Game Informer gave is that they're going back to one of the missions of Vanilla Destiny on the Moon, where you pick up the Sword of Crota for the first time, and you have all those waves of people, and you're taking out those knights, and it felt like a very disconnected thing, like, what is this Crota that you never really heard about during the vanilla game until the Taken King came out? And now they're restringing it back together so that that mission ties more directly into the Dark Below. So it does feel a whole lot more cohesive. So I think, Gray, you might, I hope you're right, is that it is the cohesive package that people were hoping for. Prime, I want to, since you have been playing Metal Gear Solid, I wanted to throw kind of something back your way as well. And, over the last couple weeks, there's been those news stories out of Konami, or leaks out of Konami about working conditions. You know, there's been months of talk about Kojima and Konami at odds, and Kojima leaving the studio, and eventually Konami strips Kojima's name off the box art. And now, in the last 2 weeks or so, there's been the news reports of working conditions at Konami where your email is not stable and that it rotates around so that anybody who may have a source doesn't get anything, that people who speak out, the example that the news gave is that somebody who posted on a social media that they got a new job and somebody liked it within Konami and they were reassigned, and the people are getting reassigned to janitorial staff or security at a pachinko parlor or totally unrelated things to game development. Prime, have you heard about this? Is this, are you a passionate Metal Gear fan? Are you looking forward to 5? What are your thoughts?
When I was playing the Phantom Pain, Ground Zeroes, that's actually the first Metal Gear I've played since the first Metal Gear on the PS1, the original one, original 3D one, I guess you should say. I hadn't picked one up, since that time. And actually, I went through and I beat that game. I liked it, but I just couldn't get into the stealth parts. I'm kind of a more, kick the door down and, shoot everything. So, but I did finish it, and, I enjoyed it, and when I finished it, I was like, okay, that was cool, and, I was kind of done with that, and I think that game kind of turned me off of stealth games kind of in general for, years now. I've kind of been creeping back into them, I guess, with, kind of the first few, or first couple Assassin's Creed where they're kind of stealthy. You can play them well, you can play them either stealth or just kind of go in and, just start, sword fighting with people. But, I don't know, yeah, I have heard, all this stuff that's coming out about Konami. I was actually listening to, I think it was Game Scoop, maybe, IGN's news podcast, and they were talking about everything you had just said, and I guess kind of, in Japan, it's a little different. Like, you're kind of expected to stay at a company, once you get hired, and it's kind of hard to find... to leave a company and go do the same, job that you've been doing in another company. You usually have to just rearrange your life and, pick something else as far as a profession, So yeah, but like they're saying on GameScoop, you're kind of stuck there. If you decide to stay there, you can, be, you know, say you're like a programmer or whatever, but you can, you know, you can go to a janitorial position, or, you know, be demoted, you know, sent to the basement to do, you know, whatever. So it's really weird, I guess, but, you know, it's also, you know, something, you know, it's a different, I don't want to say lifestyle, I guess kind of lifestyle, if you want to say, kind of over there, how they deal with things. You know, is it right? I don't think so, but I guess that's their culture over there. So I know it's pretty hard. How about you, Gray? Have you heard anything about that, or have any opinions?
Yeah, I haven't followed it. I played the original, the 3D Metal Gear Solid. The PlayStation 1 version, I actually played it on the Dreamcast using Bleem. I don't know if either of you guys remember Bleem. But I got stuck about halfway through, and I'm not a big stealth guy, and, you know, I don't know, I heard, "Snake! Snake! Snake!" So, too many times, I was like, yeah, all right, I'm done. But yeah, so I haven't really been following it. I just think it's sad. You know, it's such a great studio, and you know, you know, I had hoped that the Japanese were beyond this this archaic system of you know, making people work 80 hours for only 40 hours worth of pay and all that. But and maybe they are. Maybe it's just a perception. But yeah, not much here. I've kind of been skirting it.
So, Prime, I heard some of that same stuff, but then I also listened to a couple other podcasts and read some more. And the news story actually it was translated out of Japanese, and in that article, even the Japanese news reporting, for them, it was out of the ordinary. It was not part of the culture. It was above and beyond. You know, the way that. I'm trying to remember what I read, but they were talking about what is normal in that tradition, in that workplace tradition, like you were talking about, is to be reassigned, that you stay in the company, but usually you're reassigned to a lesser high profile or something with less prestige or something where, you know, you're still in the same kind of a career path rather than completely divested and out and pulled into things that are not related to what your skills are. So certainly I think there is a cultural piece there of staying at a company, but at the same time, historically or culturally, usually that company has treated their employees, you know, in a different way, that they may have demoted them, but not necessarily totally kind of pulled them apart in terms of development teams. I think maybe it's a combination of a change in culture. I think another piece of it is probably, you know, there's been the other Konami reports as they've canceled PT and have moved. They're not really doing a whole lot of AAA development games anymore, that they're able to make more money and make quicker money on mobile, and they also have, you know, they're really a diverse company in Japan. They're more known for pachinko and for health clubs, and so that's where they're seeing their money. There's less risk there than a big AAA multi-million-dollar project. So, yeah, I don't know.
You know, that said,
Yeah,
I
it's
think.
weird. I mean,
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's just kind of weird that, you know, these are kind of leaks and rumors, so you don't know what, you know, what the real truth is, and just the kind of the whole situation with Kojima, the studio and everything. It's just, you know, maybe it's bad blood. Maybe people are just, you know, kind of pissed off and, you know, saying these things. Maybe they're exaggerating, excuse me. But I mean, we just don't know the whole story, and who knows if we ever will, really, you know, with these, how these companies work. So, well, I guess we'll just have to see, and hopefully, as bad as it is, it's hopefully it's not true, but you know, you just never know.
So I'll after bringing it down to a note there about Konami and some Japanese company culture, let's talk about another Japanese company that's doing some fun and exciting stuff, right? Sony has been rocking it with the PlayStation 4. This w month they are having their one of their games on the PS Plus. You know, their games with PS Plus, just like Microsoft's games with Gold, that you can the users get a vote for which game of one of the multiple games will be free. There are three different games that you can vote from now until, you know, mid-August until early September. And two of them have been out on Steam and PC already. One is Armello, which is kind of a board game RPG style, and another one is Grow Home, which is kind of an indie platformer. You're a little robot, and you're moving from kind of floating platform or floating landmass to another. And then the third game is called Zombie Vikings, which is brand new from everything I've been digging out. There's a trailer online, but it hasn't released on PC first. It looks to be a PS4 exclusive for now. So those three games, you know, anybody with a PS Plus account can go out and make a vote and, you know, have a say in what free game you get. So I think that's kind of a fun way for Sony to engage their audience. Sony's also been making some news here about engaging their audience again with the PlayStation Experience. Last year that happened in Las Vegas, right around, I don't know, what was that? November, December, right around holiday buying time. And they had, it was in December because it was right before the Game Awards. And they had a good piece there, and it's coming back again. They're going to have another one. And one of the things, as they've been talking about that, they also announced this week, actually just today, a couple of different Star Wars Battlefront PlayStation 4 bundles. So this was just told to me today. I got a text or a tweet from a fellow casual adult gamer, World Voyager, and tempting me to pick up the Darth Vader skinned PS4. So there, it's got on the top of the PS4, there's a big Darth Vader face, and the controller is actually kind of modeled after Vader's chest plate. So your D-pad is red, and your analog sticks are gray. The whole controller is black, and your buttons are gray and red. It looks kind of cool. It's going to come with, this is one of multiple bundles. There's another Darth Vader bundle that's going to have Disney Infinity, since it's Star Wars. And so you could either get Battlefront or Star Wars with your Darth Vader bundle. They haven't announced what the price point there will be. But there's also going to be a regular PlayStation system Battlefront bundle, which is kind of neat because both of the Darth Vader bundles and the regular Battlefront bundle are also going to include some digital codes for some, they call them classic Star Wars games, but I'm going to ask you guys, do these count as classic Star Wars games? So they say Super Star Wars, which to me feels pretty classic. That's, you know, Super Nintendo Star Wars. Then you're going to get Star Wars Racer Revenge, which is a PlayStation 2 game, and if you remember it, congratulations. But it is a follow-up to the much-loved Nintendo 64 Pod Racer game, right? It's not quite as bad as, what was that Dreamcast Star Wars car battling game? Kind of like, I don't remember. See, if you remember a Dreamcast Star Wars battling game, driving battling game, good luck. So that's two of them. Then Jedi Starfighter, which plays like Rogue Squadron and is just fine, except you're flying around in a Episode 1 ship. And then the ever 3D classic Star Wars Bounty Hunter. So you're playing as Jango Fett. Again, not necessarily a bad game. It's, you know, it's not down to the level of Star Wars Obi-Wan on the Xbox One. But so you get those, but it's kind of a cool package. So you're going to get Battlefront, you're going to get these four other kind of token Star Wars games of different genres, all with your PS4 bundle. So we've got the Destiny PlayStation bundle coming out, we've got the Star Wars Battlefront PlayStation 4 bundle coming out. They haven't announced Uncharted Collection PlayStation 4 bundle yet, Gray, but I would bet that sounds like a Black Friday deal to throw those high-profile games into a bundle for Black Friday. And that's, you know, alongside of Xbox has got a bundle for everything this fall, it seems like, right? There's a Madden bundle, there's the Forza one, there's a bundle that includes Gears of War, there's a really slick-looking Halo 5 bundle where it's kind of a metallic gray, which a gunmetal gray, which is pretty cool. So
yeah, that one looks really nice.
Yeah, right? It does. And you can buy the controller by itself as well. So if you want that kind of gunmetal gray Halo 5 controller, that's out there for individual purchase as well.
You know, we played a lot of Starfighter, Jedi Starfighter, and a lot of the Pod Racer. We had the Pod Racer game on the PC, and my kids loved both. Those are two games, two really good games. Hey, what were you saying about Obi-Wan, though? I do have a copy of that. I've never played it, but I followed it through development. And what were you going to say about Obi-Wan?
No, I'm not talking bad about your Obi-Wan game, Gray. I guess I was, really. The Jango Fett game reviewed better. It was a third-person action Star Wars game, similar to the Obi-Wan game. So I remember following the Obi-Wan game through development as well. I thought it sounded really cool. I would ask you if it actually played out that way, but since it sounds like you haven't played it, we'll assume that it's better left for history then.
Yeah, I got a whole bunch. Actually, my grandson, who's 6, I was showing him. He's like, "You got all these Star Wars games." I'm like, "Yeah, haven't played any of them." One that my kids told me was really good was Republic Commando. So I got to give that a shot someday. But you know, I think you know, interesting. I think it's very interesting. For me, if you look at the Star Wars bundle, it's just, you know, that game, Battlefront's going to be really popular, and I want to be playing it when my friends are playing it. That would not get me to buy a PS4. You know, I think, you know, it's just, if it's going to be on both and all my friends are going to get it for the Xbox One, that's where I'll be getting it.
I think the console actually looks kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to just go out and buy a console just for Battlefront. I don't know, the controller looks kind of, I don't know. I don't like the controller. I do like the console, though. The console does look pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the Halo controller looks cool, but the Star Wars one, I think it's too dark. It's really, really dark.
Yeah, it looks kind of weird, though, with the red and blue like that. I don't know. It almost looks kind of cheap, actually.
Yeah, it looks very, maybe it's just targeted at a different audience, right? Like, maybe a kid would enjoy that more because it is more colorful, but I agree. I like the look of the system, but the controller is like, that's not gonna. It looks the gray buttons and it kind of and the red. I don't know. I really would like to see a PlayStation 4 do a few more of their anniversary controllers and have that kind of gray controller with the black analog back like the PlayStation 1. But maybe that's just my age talking.
I'm going to wait for the Shenmue 3 bundle, and then I'll buy a PS4.
No!
Yes, I love Shenmue.
So is that either a transition to talk about Shenmue a little bit more and its Kickstarter, or to just keep moving on?
You know, I have... yeah, let's keep going. Never mind. I have Shenmue 1. I got about an hour into it, so let's keep moving.
Just enough time to drive a forklift. So anyhow, so the final news story I had... comes out of Forbes. It's on their gaming website at Forbes. They have been doing a pretty good. One of their news guys, Peter Tomasi, there, who writes a lot about Destiny, and he actually had a good article just this week as well, talking about how Destiny still gets, you know, thousands of more hits than any other game. So, which I think is interesting, too. So, It's Paul Tassi, T-A-S-S-I. So, he is talking about that Halo 5 is getting a teen rating, and about whether or not that makes a difference for sales, or if it makes a difference for esports. That if Halo 5 is doing a big push for esports, what he talks about is that, potentially, as a teen-rated game, it opens up windows to for ESPN or a cable network to pick it up and to broadcast a T-rated game versus an M-rated game. I guess I've always felt like Halo feels more like a T-rated game. I don't know that. I thought some of them were T-rated, but Gray, you're a big Halo fan. Talk to me about this one.
Yeah, so my kids, when Halo first came out, my kids were fairly young. I think at the time they were like 9, 8, 7, or 10, 9, 8. And, it was rated M, and I paid a lot of attention to it. Why is this rated M? Well, how does this differ from playing cops and robbers in the backyard? And from the research I did and from the interviews I listened to, it was rated M for one reason only. And I could be wrong about this, but I specifically remember listening to or reading a developer interview where they said, because when you kill the enemies, they bled. And I'm talking Halo 1. When you would kill any of the enemies, they would bleed, and they bled different colors. So blue or, so you'd walk through a room, you'd have all these pastels all over the wall. And it wasn't like gory blood, like chunks flowing. It was like just splatters on the wall. Like it looked like almost, was it Splatoon? Where you're in the Nintendo game where you're blowing paint all over the place. That's what it looked like. And but it was blood. And that was my understanding of why it got an M-rated. And I often wished, it didn't add much to the game. And I would have loved them to have a version that didn't have that, so that it would have been T-rated. So if we're going to lose Covenant blood splattering on the walls to make it T, if that's, and again, I'm not following what happened with 2, 3, and 4, but if that's what it takes, yeah, fine. I mean, it's such a little thing to give up to open it up to a bigger audience. For me, M should be for the, really for the Gears of War where you're chainsawing a life in half, somebody in half, and you get all that gore and that mess. That's M-rated to me.
Yeah, no, I think about Destiny, which got a T-rated, and, everybody just kind of, that when you shoot them, there's no blood, you get a good headshot, and you get that delicious, I shouldn't say delicious, because that sounds kind of creepy, but that's very satisfying, yeah, sorry, Prime, yeah, that very satisfying puff of smoke and sound, right? I think the reason why I said delicious is because I was listening to, and I don't know if you guys have listened to this, but on the IGN Fireteam podcast, which is a Destiny podcast, they talked to one of the developers, and they were talking about kind of their sound guys and how they, one story was about how he was plopping stuff into pudding to record sounds, and that was part of it. So maybe that's where it came from, or I'm just creepy. Anyhow, but no, I think you're right, Gray. I mean, turn off the blood. One of the things I really liked about Sunset Overdrive was that you had the ability to take out the gore and the language, right? So you could still have a really fun game, Sunset Overdrive, done by Insomniac, the Ratchet and Clank people. Good mechanics, so instead of the mutants exploding in red blood, they explode in orange because they are orange, or they drink the orange energy drink, and so they explode in orange goo. And instead of swearing, there's beeping. It censors it. So I think it's kind of a nice nod so that it opens that up to a wider audience, because there's certainly games that could be played. And, as we've talked about, as parents, and I'd be interested to hear your piece, Prime, that I'd rather have something like that to be able to change the settings for my kids rather than have my son's friend who has been playing Call of Duty since he was in second grade. I'd like those options as a parent.
I'm just going to jump in here. If I could talk to developers, I would say, please make your game, first of all, let me set the console so that it only plays teen games. But what I'm saying is, make your game so when I put it in, if it's an M-rated game, it only plays as a T-rated game. Automatically turn off the swearing. Like one of the problems I have with Rainbow Six Vegas is, you can keep the pictures in the room, but the sound sometimes drifts beyond your door. And when they're saying some pretty vulgar things, you know, that drifts out. That drifts out into the other room. You know, so I would definitely like, you know, to be able to say, I want to turn off the vulgarity. I want to turn off the gore. I think Unreal always did a very good job at that, having those on or offs. But what I'd like to do is I would like the console, if the console said only play teen, turn the game into a teen game by just automatically flipping those switches on. Now, you know, there's some people who say, well, is a beep? You know, I don't want a beep. You know, put it up, do like TV did, put a funny word in there, or maybe not so funny word, but put a different word in there that's not a cuss word, or turn off the blood, or don't let the gore, you know, turn off the gore. You know, not all games could do it, but there are plenty like Halo 1, where if they just had a slider that turned off that blood, it could be T. Well, if the console said, well, you need to be a T-rated game, you could just buy the M-rated game and be feel safe that none of the M-rated content would show up for your kids. So I don't know, that's just my thought. Prime, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah, it's. I'm almost always kind of torn on the subject. I mean, my son's pretty young right now. He's only 4, so he's not playing any kind of, you know, military shooter of any kind, or even Halo or anything like that. And he probably won't for a while. But like when I, you know, when we were growing up, when I was growing up, you know, everything was sprite based. And so even if there was kind of a rating on it, I was always allowed to play it anyways because it wasn't my parents. I don't think my parents really cared. I mean, my parents would actually allow me to, you know, watch an R-rated movie as long as they were there, or, you know, or TV show, you know, an adult themed TV show. So, I don't know. It's just kind of hard, and it's kind of something I might want to go into, you know, future shows, kind of a subject on just, you know, kind of gaming and parenting in general. But you know, it would be, you know, awesome if they did put some kind of filter, you know, option in there, and you know, like you said, Gray, on some of the PC games, the old PC games used to do that. I don't know if it's that much harder to do now, you know, because, you know, everything's so advanced. I don't know, you know, but, you know, I don't think I've ever seen that kind of option, except for maybe, I think one of the Gears had that, didn't they, maybe? Or there's something that kind of turned the gore off, or at least, you know, watered it down a little. I can't remember what the game was,
Yeah,
you
Gears of
know,
War
a few
1
years
had
ago.
that, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, so I thought it was Gears. So, you know, that would be, you know, a really nice option to, you know, to do. You know, like I said, my kid's still pretty young, so he's playing Minecraft, and that's pretty much it. But you know, even that's, you know, you're kind of killing things, and animals, and you know, the enemies and stuff like that. But you know, I try to talk him through it. You know, say, you know, don't kill things unless you have to. You know, unless it's an enemy, unless it's coming towards you. You know, kind of stuff like that. But it's kind of a slippery situation and subject. You know, so something I'd like to get in further. You know, maybe they can do, you know, weird dubs and stuff like that. And I think, kind of off the subject, one of the funniest dubs I've ever heard in a movie was Melon Farmer. And I'll let you figure out what word they replaced for, you know, for that one. But it's just, you know, kind of funny if you kind of hear that. It might kind of take you out of the game too. You know, obviously if it's for, you know, it's just for your kid, you know, it shouldn't matter. But you know, I think kids are pretty sophisticated. They know, you know, what it's going to be. But like I said, I don't know. It's just kind of a torn subject for me. You know, I kind of go back and forth on, you know, how everything should be.
You know, it's you know, I'm just thinking of my grandkids when I take them. You know, they're 6 and 7. When I take them camping, I still have to have that conversation. You know, don't try to capture the butterfly; you're going to kill it. You know, don't pick up the caterpillar; you're going to smush them. You know, it's you know, yes, you can step on the ant if you think he's going to bite you. So I think as a parent, you have to have those conversations anyways, and I have those conversations with them in Minecraft. You know, if my grandson is going around and he thinks it's funny to kill all the ducks or whatever, I'm like, look, if you're going to keep doing that, I'm shutting it off. You know, that's not the way the game was meant to be played. So you still have to, I guess you still have to parent, and that's why I think it's good when, you know, when you keep that in the living room, in the family room, so you can kind of keep an eye on them and help them and nudge them in the right direction. So what do you think, DB? I mean, you got additional thoughts on this? What were you thinking when you heard that? Do you think it was going to hurt sales, or do you think it was going to be irrelevant? Because it doesn't seem like it hurt Destiny, like you said.
I think it's fine. I don't know that. I mean, the people that are interested in Halo, are going to buy it one way or the other, right? I mean, I don't think that M-rated games have not, being an M-rated game has not hurt sales at all. You know, Call of Duty speaks to that every year. That hasn't hurt sales. So maybe there are a margin of people where they were, shying away from it. But I think at the same time, probably some of those people who would be shying away from it at an M are concerned about the violence in general. And whether it's T or M, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm glad that it is. I shouldn't, I'm not going to be wishy-washy. I'm glad that it's T. I don't know, like you said, Grant, I don't know that Halo really needs to be M. But at the same time, I think what you said, Gray, of you still have to parent is absolutely true. You know, that there are teachable moments there in any situation, in any type of media that, just because something was printed in a book and not in a graphic, a graphic movie or a video game, it doesn't mean that it could have any less impact. That no matter what our kids are exposed to, we still need to be parents and engaged with that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
To be honest, I mean, until like a few months ago, and this was, I think, on a podcast that I heard about it, they were talking about Halo, and I think it was just a rumor that they were going to go into the T rating. And like I said, this was like 3 or 4 months ago, and that I actually didn't even realize it was an M-rated game at that point, until that point. So, I don't think it probably won't hurt the sales, but, it's nice that they're, they're going to the teen rating. And I don't know if, I kind of was just skimming through the article. I don't know if they actually said why there was a difference or if they even gave a reason or not.
No, I don't remember either. I think it is somewhat of what Gray was talking about, that the blood aspects there. One of the things the article talked about is that, when the flood was involved, that they were taking over bodies and you were shooting other humans, and so then it becomes an M-rated, but now it's not the flood. You've got different factions going on here, so maybe that plays into it too.
Yay, no flood.
I think that's a good way to end this news story, is just the cheer for no flood.
So, with that, guys, any other news stories you want to talk about before we wrap up this episode?
I didn't have any news stories, but I did want to ask DB a question about the Rare Replay. And I don't know if let me just say, I guess I was listening to a podcast, and I can't remember which one it was, but they were saying how, some of the games, I guess, it's more of a backwards compatibility thing. Like, say, for instance, I can't remember the name of the game now. Well, let's just say Perfect Dark, because you had Perfect Dark. First, did you buy it digitally or did you buy a disc?
So I bought it disc. I had thought about buying it digitally, but I knew that I had a discount at a retailer and I could pick it up cheaper that way. So, but what ends up happening is on the disc is everything up until somewhere in the N64 range. And so anything that was released on the 360, including things like Perfect Dark and Jet Force Gemini, I don't know if that was. But so a lot of the games end up being individual installs that you have to download them. So buying it digitally may be a good way to go, because then you wouldn't necessarily have to keep throwing in that disc. So I think about the ones that are installed on my apps outside of Rare Replay. You get Perfect Dark, Perfect Dark Zero, Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Nuts and Bolts, both Viva Pinatas, and Jet Force Gemini. I think Conker is not a individual one, is not a backwards compatible, but I'm not sure. But they've been playing fine. It was, the install process was a little quirky because it would kind of stall out a couple different times, and there were a couple times when I had to reset the machine to be able to finish the install, and I was listening to a Giant Bombcast podcast, and they were having problems with that as well. So, but once they're up and running, they seem to be running just fine. I haven't had any crashes. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in the 360 games yet, so I'll putz around with that a little bit this coming week and be able to give you guys a better sense of how that backwards compatibility piece works there.
So those 360 game, when you install them, are they do they show up like as 360 like backwards compatibility games, or is it just like a separate install then? If you
It
understand
just
the
shows.
question.
I think so. It just shows up as a separate install. So on my games, my list of game tiles that are installed, it's a separate game tile for each of those individual titles. And so it shows up. It doesn't say like a big backwards compatibility banner. Some may have a little bit of 360 branding on the image. But like we launched and we're playing Perfect Dark, and the achievements that you unlock are 360 achievements, and they pop up as 360 style achievements, right? That they're up at the that same. They're not the crisp, full-on green Xbox One achievement branding, but they're the grayer, more circled Xbox 360 branded achievements. So they're definitely just 360 games running, and they seem to be working okay.
Okay, I was just wondering that. Like I said, when I was listening to that podcast, they were, it's what they were saying. It sounded like it was they were just backwards compatibility games that were being installed, and I don't know. Just kind of thinking now, I was just kind of thinking if you don't have it online, then how are you supposed to get those games then if it's not on the disc?
Yeah, no, I think that's you have to. And that was kind of a goofy thing that I didn't, I mean, I bought it the week of and didn't realize that, but you're right. Like, if you're not connected online, actually, I end up taking my Xbox offline when I install most games so that it doesn't just download the full X number of gigabytes and just installs it off the Blu-ray. And so it could only install a certain amount and then kind of stopped because it needed to be connected. And once I connected it back up online, then it downloaded all those other games. So yeah, if you're running a Xbox One and you're not connected at all to the internet, you do kind of get chipped out of some of those games. Or if you connect intermittently, then you're probably okay because eventually you're downloaded. But yeah, that's something that's not very clear in terms of the marketing and the packaging. But again, for $30, it's a pretty nice collection.
Yeah, I definitely want to pick that up eventually. So there's definitely some games like Perfect Dark and was what the Blast Corps. That was I remember playing those back on the 64. So it should be fun times.
Well, guys, with that, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Band of Gamers podcast. If you listeners out there have any questions or comments on anything we discussed, please feel free to either use the forums at bandofgamers.net or even send us an email at podcast@bandofgamers.net. And for myself, I'm Greylock3491, and on behalf of Osiris Prime and DBQ Hams, we want to thank you for listening to this week's show, and until the next time we talk, peace.